خوفِ خدا و عشقِ مصطفیٰ، علم و عمل اصلاح معاشرہ، فقہِ شریعت و طریقت کا ہے مجموعہ مدنی مذاکرہ، الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Blessings of Salat and Salam, page number 4. Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, whoever recites Salat upon me 1,000 times a day, he will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Alhamdulillah, tonight is the fourth night of Ramadanul Mubarak, 1439 Hijri. Full 3 days. 3 days and three nights I spent in negligence. Tonight is the fourth night. Thousands of mutakifeen are gathered in the Global Madani Markaz. Madani Muzakara is being conducted. Please ask questions. It's not necessary that I'm able to reply every question, and that too correctly. If possible, I will try to reply it. If you find me making mistake, correct me straight away. You won't find me beating around the bush or sticking to my opinion unnecessarily. Rather, you'll find me grateful to you whilst rectifying myself. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Baba, please guide us in this regard that there are some people who are deceiving others on the basis of solving their spiritual matters, spiritual cure, or solving their Islamic queries. They take money, and some also blackmail women. What is Islamic ruling about such people?
They take money for Shari'i guidance. I didn't comprehend this. I've never heard something like this before. That they cheat. For example, if you ask a ruling to a Mufti, then he will provide the answer, but there is no charge for this. However, he can charge for a written answer.
To be honest, I guess that there is a possibility that Islamic questions are asked from Amil too.
People ask for Shari'i guidance from everyone. The elders in home behave like Muftis. Not everyone, but a good majority. In fact, if a young person guides them after learning a Shari'i ruling, then they say, just be quiet. You're a youngster and telling us a ruling? We know a lot more than you.
UK is known to be a country of high literacy rate, a country of educated people. Having said there is a high literacy rate, but these problems exist. And many women, they go to such Amileen in order to discuss their family and private matters and to ask questions from them. These issues are very common in UK. Blackburn is a city of UK, and I had to deliver a speech there. I was informed about these issues there, and I have been to other parts of UK too. There are many such businesses and proper offices opened. Well, we cannot say for 100% that everybody is a fraud, but these issues exist there. Even you talk about America or South Africa or other parts of the world, like India, Bangladesh, or here in Pakistan, it does exist. Okay, what actually is happening? Women are going in order to discuss matters related to their husband and children. They go to such offices, and later on it is found out that some dishonest and corrupt people, they cause problems. Actually, these women go to sort their problems out. Instead, they are trapped in problems. What would you guide about such people? And yes, there is another point, that if any of such immodest and indecent act happens, then it is highlighted and published. Should this happen? First of all, what should the listeners do, those viewers who are listening to us right now? Obviously, everyone doesn't go to army. Please guide us generally and specifically too. Jazakallah.
Not probably everyone would understand the word amil either.
Babe.
Actually, I have heard about the UK that there's a great tradition of giving financial gifts there. They give a lot of financial gifts. You would probably remember that brothers from the UK used to bring loads of pounds for me. I used to forbid them and also return back to some of them, saying that we need you, not your pounds. You come. Give us time. Travel in the Madani Kafila.
In UK, there are held big Islamic gatherings. And after the event, you get an opportunity to meet people. When you shake hands with them, you feel that there is some sort of paper. But later on, you realize these are pounds, money. When the reason is asked, then it is replied as you're saying. But because in our organization, it is encouraged to all the preachers and Naat reciters not to take money. Hence, Alhamdulillah, our preachers and others, they don't take money if they force that they are told to donate to Dawat-e-Islami. And even that money is not directly taken by us. Rather, that money is given in the hand of one of the responsible Islamic brothers for donations. In our organization, no preacher or Naat reciter is allowed to take money. But you're right, giving money as a gift is common in UK and other countries too.
This is why then a lot of them would have opened up shops over there. They won't go to Bangladesh. They won't go in the poor countries. Such kind of people, whoever they are, specially target developed countries and start operating there. You would have never heard that any Naat Khan from here went to Bangladesh. You would have hardly come across it. Allah knows best. Or perhaps they don't call them. They have their own Naat Khans. It's not that everyone goes to the UK for the sake of money. However, a lot of them go there. A lot of Huffaz also go there to lead the Taraweeh Salah. I've never heard that anyone went to Bangladesh. Even when the visas were open, still we didn't come across anyone going there to lead the Taraweeh Salah. They probably don't call because it's a poor country. Allah knows the best. Everyone has their own intentions. I normally talk generally and try to give a mindset. If you think about it, just ponder, why do you have the passion of only going to the UK? All we want is just send me to the UK. Why so? Wouldn't you find the pleasure of Allah in Bangladesh? Will you not find it in poor countries? You'll only find it in European countries? Or Allah will be pleased? Only where you find pounds and dollars. So, innamal a'malu bin niyat. So, anyhow, if people stop giving them money, then such businesses will collapse. Those who run these businesses are at times very experienced. Because they know that if they say to you that nothing's wrong with you, it's only a psychological issue, then people will say that this person knows nothing.
They'll say him a fraud.
Yes, he's fake, he knows nothing, he's wasting time. The other Amil is better. And when the other Amil says that the entire tribe of jinns has surrounded you, then they're like, yes, he's got it right. That's why I see so many unusual things. Now what shall I say, that whether the Amil succeeded or got destroyed?
It's hard for him to succeed.
Well, if the Amil is lying, saying that the tribe of jinns has surrounded and earning money out of it, then obviously he is destroyed and will also destroy the other person as well. As in, I'll destroy you along with me as well. So this practice would also exist over there. However, not every Amil is wrong. Every Ta'weez giving person is not wrong. Alhamdulillah, there are stalls of Dawat-e-Islami as well, where they have no permission of taking money. So those Islamic brothers who are responsible for stalls do not have any permission from us to take any money for their own selves. However, if someone gives Madani donations, then on stalls they do collect Madani donations for Dawat-e-Islami. That's permissible. But anyhow, I'm not talking about permissibility or impermissibility. Our responsible Islamic Brothers forestalls, do not take money. If someone does so, then he goes against our rules. If it is found out, then our majlis can take action over it. So anyways, first of all, people should be careful. If you have the desire to live, then create an awareness of your surroundings. And if any amil performs such evil practices, then he shall fear Allah Almighty. As one day we have to die, death is inevitable. Then we'll be helpless. When we get accounted for it, the same money will be of no use. Money did not help Qarun either. He had so much wealth and so much treasure that the keys to his treasures and all the wealth were carried by a group of 40 men. That's how many keys he had for his treasures. Then imagine the amount of treasure. So all his treasure destroyed with him. So Qarun was destroyed and so was all his treasure. So don't do this for the sake of money. Whoever it may be, whether male or female, don't do it. Females would also be doing this. Women would also be involved in it. As normally there's not much concept of parda over there. Now there are a lot of Pakistanis living over there, especially the Kashmiris. And amongst them, there is a large number who have this devotion and observe reverence as well. So this way, these kind of people get trapped. So perform spiritual cure whilst fearing Allah, as it's allowed, if done through permissible means.
Now if somebody's got worries, problems, issues in his life, and if he makes his way to go to such people who are spiritual healers and they do spiritual cure and treatment and commonly known as Babas, Amil, etc. Now, the first part of the question is that a person who is going to see them, shall he or she should discuss the private matters with such people? Well, put it this way, what are the side effects of a strange woman going to a strange man and discussing her private and family matters with him without any veil? And please also mention the Islamic ruling in this regard. And second part of the question is that to what extent a person should discuss his or her private matters with such people? Suppose a woman goes within the restrictions of Islamic veiling.
As far as this is concerned, in case the other person is capable of curing spiritual issues, then whilst observing veil, one can mention her issues to him. And the one who performs amaliyat is amil and gives the right ta'weez. He provides the right cure. It is permissible for him to even charge for it. So paying for it and charging money for it both are permissible. We are discussing the evil and unethical practices that exist in it. As the evils that exist in it, as a woman reveals her shortcomings, without any veil, now the so-called amil will firmly gaze at her, then he'll do his own stuff, they then chase you, keep ringing you. We've heard this in Pakistan. The rules and regulations over there are quite strict, but who knows what goes on over there.
Mother-in-law goes to discuss matters regarding her young daughter-in-law, and young daughter-in-law, she goes to discuss delicate and private issues relating to his husband and children, issues of their young daughters. It's also common here, but I'm talking about abroad, because it's a general perception here that educated people, they do not go to such places. But I say that they do go to such places. It's really strange. People everywhere, they go to discuss their private issues with such people. What should be done?
Yes, definitely. We should avoid it and only tell what is required. One should not reveal all of her secrets, then those people would also blackmail, and a person gets disgraced by revealing the secret of his heart, and when the fragrance is gone, then a flower becomes useless. So this is an extremely risky game. However, unless we don't have an alternate, until then it is very difficult to resolve this problem out. If you say to people that do not eat meat from non-believers, avoid it from them. So restaurants do have meat and you say it's haram. And yes, it's haram. Then they'll be like, where shall we go? So what should be done is that the area in which a non-believer is selling meat, feeding it to people, you should open your own restaurant close to him and try to keep the prices equal to his. Or it's even better if you can keep lower than him. If you keep prices lower than him, then automatically Muslims will eat from your restaurant, making sure that food standard is not lower than him. So those who are noble amileen amongst them, if they adopt such practices like, yes, it's enough, you've told me, don't tell me more, I won't speak to unveiled women. If you come observing full veil, then I'll make you sit in the other room or speak to you whilst keeping you behind the veil. If they do so whilst keeping such fear of Allah and abandon the evil practices, then perhaps they'll become famous quicker. And those evil and corrupt types of amileen can be kept under control. This is one of the solutions that comes to my mind. Anyhow, one shall not go to the wrong person. Even in an urgency, one shall not go to them. Same could be done in Pakistan as well. Those people would be frequently visiting Pakistan. There's so many Pakistanis there. Also many Indians. So they must visit India. So get your issues resolved by a good Muslim.
We have online services available. You can visit our website www.dawateislami.net and you can search for the Department of Spiritual Cures. There are many brothers who have permission for spiritual cures in UK, America and South Africa too. Well, in South Africa you have got trained Islamic brothers, 3 to 4 Islamic brothers for sure. I have recommended you the services of Dawat Islami for spiritual cure because through Dawat Islami you will be saved and secured from any sorts of evils or mischiefs related in this regard.
There are Islamic sisters as well in the UK for this cure.
And we have telephonic services. You can contact us through phone. Online services are also available. You can contact us through various means. Please do care about your dignity and respect. Because sometimes they say, hang this, do that. And some say that we have to come to your house in order to do something there. And then you allow them to enter inside your house. But once they enter in your house, that means bigger problem has entered in your house. Whereas you had gone to remove problem at first place. Now he doesn't go out easily. May Allah protect from those acts which they perform then. And sometimes when you go to them to discuss your family and private issues, and at some places they may have hidden CCTV cameras, and then on the basis of that information and recordings, they blackmail. And then what happens, you may know better. So please, do not destroy your own house through your own hands. And the pure path for spiritual cures, Dawat-e-Islami has provided you, adopt that. Or those Babas, Amil, spiritual healers who are devotees of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, contact them having met all the restrictions of Islamic law. It's possible that you may get a suitable solution for your problem. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Baba, in Masajid, people recite the Holy Quran. And if somebody sits behind someone, then that person is told to move somewhere else and sit. Is it a disrespect to have your back towards Quran? Please reply this question. Jazakallahu khaira.
Yes, having back towards it is disrespect.
All right.
Now for the sake of argument, for example, this is the Holy Quran. And if one sat down over here, not right behind the Holy Quran, then it's not disrespect. Only if it's right behind the back, or he sat very far away, that people do not consider it to be disrespect. So this will not be considered as disrespect either. And as far as decoration pieces are concerned, that contain the picture of Green Dome or Khana Kaaba, Ala Hazrat has forbidden to have back towards them as well. This is also against etiquettes. But normally, we don't really take care of it. There are normally Quranic verses written in the arches of Masajid. We shall not have back towards them either. People normally walk having their backs towards it. No one really cares. And it shouldn't be written so low either that it comes in front of people's backs. It should be written on the top, where even Salah offering people can't see. If they are able to see during Salah, then they'll keep losing their concentration. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My question to Amira al-Sunnat is, Medina Sharif is also called with different names. For example, Taiba, City of Medina, Taiba, Medina Al-Munawwara, Medina Sharif, etc. Can we also call it Yathrib?
Correct pronunciation is Yathrib. Calling it Yathrib is impermissible. It's a sin. Because Yathrib means a place of calamities, afflictions. Before, it was called Yathrib. Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, this is not Yathrib, this is Taiba. Is it Taiba or Taiba? Taiba. Ta, ta with alif. Ta, Taiba. So it's not permissible to call it Yathrib anymore. It's stated in a hadith that if someone calls it Yathrib, then the expiation for it is that he shall say Medina, Medina 10 times.
He should do istighfar.
And perform istighfar?
If someone is called Yathrib to Madinatul Nabi, then he should do istighfar. And in its explanation, scholars have said that doing istighfar after calling Madinatul Nabi as Yathrib, this proves that this act is a sin. There is another book of Imam Bukhari al-Rahman known as Tarikh al-Kabir. There is a hadith in that. It is said if someone is called Medina as Yathrib, he should say 10 times Medina.
So we cannot call Medina as Yathrib. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Excellence of Ramadan! The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, when the first night of the blessed Ramadan arrives, then the doors of the skies and the heavens are opened. And they do not shut until the last night. Whoever offers salah in any of the nights of this blessed month, then Allah Almighty writes 1500 virtuous deeds in exchange of his every prostration and makes a house of red rubies for him in paradise, which will have 60,000 doors, and the hinges of every door will be made of gold, and they'll be embedded with red rubies. So, anyone who keeps the fast of first Ramadan, then Allah Almighty forgives his sins until the last day of the month. And 70,000 angels keep supplicating for his forgiveness from the morning till evening. Whenever he prostrates in the day or night, then upon every prostration, he is granted such a tree in the paradise that a horse rider will keep riding his horse under its shade for 500 years. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My question to Ahle Sunnah is that the iftar parties that take place nowadays, people normally don't go to the masjid to offer salah with jama'at. They offer salah with jama'at there. Is this right to do so? And what would be the shari'i ruling for this? Moreover, please guide us on the following fact, too, that some people do organize iftar parties, but they themselves are indebted. They do iftar parties instead of paying back the debt or go to Umrah. So how is this to do so?
Allah Allah. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh has mentioned a detailed fatwa in this regard in Fatawa Razaviya Sharif, that the jama'at of masjid is wajib. Obviously when all the shari'i conditions are met. So, blessings of Ramadan. Blessings of Ramadan also contains this ruling. Therefore, whoever conducts an iftar party, if there's a masjid nearby and there's no shari'i reason to not to offer salah there, then in this case, everyone should offer salah in masjid with jama'at. For example, you've done iftar at home. Nowadays, few minutes are given in our masajid to open the fast. So after iftar, we shall rush towards the masjid offer Salah with Jamaat and come back, and then eat. Then we should get free at any cost by Isha Salah. Then offer Salah with Jamaat again. Secondly, if he is indebted and is spending money on iftar parties, then he should first of all pay back the debt. Don't delay paying back the debt unnecessarily. Don't do it. Same is the case with Umrah. But if the debtor gives the permission and it's not such a loan, oh yes, if the debtor takes permission from the creditor, and the creditor to whom the borrower owes the money, he doesn't mind it, that you may perform Umrah or the Nafil Hajj, then there is no harm in this. Does he need permission for iftar party as well?
It is not a condition, but ruling will be as per situation, that the borrower is upsetting the creditor. In addition to that, other issues are caused, like blaming and slandering. It is normally seen that borrower is blamed, that instead of paying his loans back, he is doing iftar parties. And sometimes it is really upsetting. People are under so much burden of loans, but yet they do iftar parties. It's quite understandable that they should pay back their loan first.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Holy Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, La ilaha illallah al-Halim al-Kareem, Subhanallah rabbi al-samawati al-sab'i, wa rabbi al-arsh al-azim. Whoever recites this three times, it is as if he has acquired Shabe Qadr. Let's recite it together. La ilaha illallah. Al-Halim al-Kareem. Subhanallah. Rabb al-Samawati. Al-Sab'i. Wa Rabb al-Arsh al-Azim. La ilaha illallah. Al-Halim al-Kareem. Subhanallah. رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد حضرت سيدنا عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما states, when reciting this dua three times whilst getting up from a gathering, his sins are forgiven. And the one who recites it in a righteous gathering and a gathering of zikr, then goodness will be sealed upon for him. Let's recite it together. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد خوف خدا عشق مصطفى فقه شریعت و طریقت کا ہے مجموع مدنی مذاکرہ ہے مجموع مدنی مذاکرہ
Khuda.